self-sacrifice has been glorified
yes.
to the point of not knowing the line between saying yes, saying no, and abuse.
Hi, I'm Dr. Dimple Jangra. I'm your podcast host, and I welcome you to A Gut Story. This is a podcast, a platform where we're going to discuss healthy everything. A healthy body, healthy mind, healthy emotion, healthy energetics, and a healthy spiritual journey. We're going to also discuss stories of courage, grit, confidence, discipline, and patience that helped several people overcome tragic events in their life and physical trauma. And we're also going to learn from several natural sciences like Ayurveda, naturopathy, homeopathy, yoga, on how to reset our body back to good health and bring ourselves back closer to nature. Welcome to A Gut Story with yours truly, Dr. Dimple.
As you know, every episode, we try to explore a new modality of healthcare practice that's available there. Preventive healthcare practice, so that we're not running to the hospitals or trying to get surgeries that's unnecessary or drugs and steroids injected into our body. There are lots of practices out there, and one such, very close to my heart, practice of meditation. I have with me today a very esteemed guest and a good friend, Aditi Gojrikar. Dr. Aditi Gojrikar. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Dimple. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. We've had some really interesting conversations. I'm going to tell my audience a little bit about you and your background. Dr. Aditi Gojrikar is a medical doctor, and she started out practice like 20 years ago almost. After that, she went on to win Mrs. World in 2001. She also is the only Indian woman ever to have held that title. We still don't have a competitor. We still don't have anyone who's matched her title. After that, there was a string of events, and Aditi went on to learn psychology, do master's in psychology, right?
That's
about
correct.
4 years ago.
Yes.
And after that, now you're also doing master's at the Harvard University.
Yes, that's correct.
How's the experience been? What's your journey?
Basically, I started off to becoming a medical doctor. Then I also got admission for MD Gynec. I did that for around 8 months or so. But I guess life had something else in store for me. I shifted gears and I came into the world of modeling and acting. 4 years back, I thought I should go back to studying because I believe I'm a lifelong learner. It is my passion to continuously learn and collect knowledge and degrees. I know human body, now let me study human mind. That's how I decided on psychology.
Yeah.
Another thing which I also thought was very, very crucial as to why I should do psychology is because we, as a country, are very low on the happiness index.
Yeah.
We have everything possible in our country. We have all the resources. We have super intelligent people. Yet, why are we not happy? And then there are countries which don't even enjoy sunshine all year round. 6 months of darkness, right?
Yeah, winter's like up to 9 to 10 months.
But they top the happiness index. And sunshine is directly related to how a human being feels. Yeah. We are very, very low on the scale. And that's what I thought, that no, let me take it upon myself to raise the happiness index of our country. That's why today I can say I am a wellness expert, because I help people feel happy and loved.
That's really nice. You know, it's very interesting, Aditi's journey. She's been always breaking stereotypes.
Yes.
When you were studying to become a medical doctor, you broke the stereotype and went on to become Mrs. World and the highest paid model ever in India. And then you broke that stereotype at an age where you already had kids who were writing the exams. You decided to go study.
Yes.
And I'm sure that there must have been a lot of jokes about it at home.
My children insist I should give the exams. They're like, Mama, we have exams. Why do you want to give your own? I'm like, no. Your journey is your journey. My journey is my journey. I will help you give your exams and you can help give me mine.
You've had a couple of triggers in your life where you probably sat back and realized, this is not it. I have more to my life. There's more purpose to my life than just being a model or just being a title holder or just being a medical doctor. You've had a lot of those triggers. How has that shaped your decision making, your choices that you're constantly making every single day? You're constantly making a lot of active decisions.
Yes.
What has been your trigger and what has it led to?
So basically, when I think back, Dimple, I have had a trigger which is continuously on. I don't really have this switch off in terms of doing something new, learning something, acquiring a new skill, or getting to know about something. That curiosity is, I think, innately part of my personality. Even as a child in vacation, when I used to visit Pune, I used to stay with my Ajji, my grandmother,
yeah.
I would enroll myself into different classes. So it was not that my mother used to say, okay, beta, ye class karo, wo class, nothing. Yeah. In fact, a couple of classes she put a stop to and she's like, you can't do this. Having said that, I would go and enroll myself. I would go and collect my pocket money. Yeah. And I did yoga when I was 7 years old. Yeah. Nobody in the house practiced yoga. They didn't know what it was all about. I went and did that. I used to go for embroidery class. I used to do painting classes. Whilst I was studying, I also did the national exams for Hindi and maths. So that was an external exam which I enrolled myself in. I decided to learn classical music. I was chosen to be part of a drama troupe as a kid.
Right.
They're chosen. But my mother said no to that as well. She's like, no, that will take you away from your education. And mother was very particular about us not missing school. So I had to, you know, be focused with school. And I used to love school. I was one of those nerds who would love going to school.
Yeah, but little did she know that you'd go ahead and break a stereotype on a global platform.
Yes.
With Mrs. One title. Like it was a bigger life title.
Yes.
And after your marriage. So you've also been a Vipassana practitioner and you've also been the face of Pita in India.
Yes.
I want to touch a little bit about Pita and your journey with it and why is it so important to you and your soul? Like, which part of your heart or soul belongs to it?
I think my every fiber in the body, every cell belongs to Pita. And the reason being that I am a vegetarian since inception.
Yeah.
I've not had non-vegetarian food. And I believe strongly in it. I believe that a human body is made to eat vegetarian food. Mm-hmm. If you take our digestive system, compare it with our counterpart beings, which are vegetarian, and you take the comparison along with the carnivores or the animals that eat flesh, ours resembles the vegetarian system, the digestive system, from our teeth to our gut to everything. I believe in that. And also now the world is getting, you know, these jolts to say that, hey, actually, you know what, vegetarian is so much better for our health. I also believe there's a connection between being vegetarian and your mind and your soul.
Mm.
That, again, that process is now getting discovered to say that mind is not only up here. So that's why I decided when Pita approached me, I was very, very happy to. They launched Pita in India when John and I were the brand ambassadors for it.
Yeah.
And we traveled to Delhi and Mumbai. We did press conferences. So that's how Pita came about.
Yeah.
And your second question was about meditation.
Vipassana. Yes, I want to talk about Vipassana meditation and how, you know, this changed your life. You have practiced Vipassana, which is a very difficult way of meditation. We all love meditation, but again, we have our different saturation levels where we cannot push ourselves beyond. Like we hit a roadblock. And Vipassana was a difficult practice even for you in the beginning. You've done it 4 times. It involves imposing silent meditation upon you. No human contact, no digital contact, not even eye contact with your neighbors at the meditation center. How was your first experience?
I believe in doing and giving 100% to whatever I do.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel only then can you really enjoy the fruits of whatever it is that you're doing. When I did Vipassana, that wasn't the first practice that I chose for myself. I had dabbled with other forms. When I went for Vipassana, yes, initially it was really difficult because just sitting without moving for even 10 minutes becomes a very painful task. Being silent was not a problem for me because I'm not a, you know, one. I'm an introvert by nature, very shy kind of a person. So remaining silent wasn't an issue for me. But yes, sitting in one place, not moving and focusing became a challenge. But that taught me a lot. How you incorporate that in your life. Because Vipassana is a way of life, which people don't realize.
Yeah.
Meditation is not something that should be kept aside 10 minutes, half an hour. No.
Mm.
Meditation is part of life. When you are into the practice, you realize that every moment that you're living should be lived in meditation.
It's a basic core of our existence, right?
Yes.
Meditation. Like if you didn't meditate, you wouldn't have a peace or the alignment within you.
Yes.
To be a sound, happy person, like happiness also comes from that peace and silence within.
Absolutely.
And you love silence now.
I like silence.
Noise and voices disturbing now.
Not all the time. I think complete silence all the time will also not be a good thing for me because I love people. Okay, I want to, you know, shut myself in a room and live 24/7. No, I'm not an island. I like being social. I love meeting new people. That's one of my passions, to meet new people and get to know about them.
Yeah.
Because when people ask me that, oh, who's your idol? Who do you look up to? And I say anybody that I meet, because from every individual, there's so much that one can learn.
Yeah.
learn to do and learn what not to do.
Yeah, there's learning from the good and the bad,
yes,
right?
Yes.
In fact, there's a saying, right? The people who hurt us are very critical for our growth because they're the Buddhas in our life. That teach us a very important lesson. Having said that, you found beauty, love, and happiness in silence. Have you been able to find peace and silence in chaos? Like, Mumbai is a chaotic city. There's always noise. There's always traffic. Are you able to find peace from the chaos? Are you able to separate the two?
No, there is no peace in chaos. Having said that, Mumbai is my karma bhumi, as I call it.
Yes.
And this is my city, at least for the time being. I don't know how long my journey will be in Mumbai. If I'm going to, I don't know. I take it as it comes in that sense, because sometimes you plan for something and then life has something else in store for you. So I have realized that. Doesn't mean that I don't have goals or I don't have a path that I want to walk on. But I have that sense that, okay, this is a path I have chosen. But if something happens and if I have to change my path, that's okay too. It's not like, oh my God, I had this plan and what am I going to do? No, I don't go into that kind of a zone. But I say, okay, this is a path that this is an opportunity that has come to me. Now I got to decide whether I want to walk on that path. And it's not like I get this a lot as well, that, oh, you're a psychologist, so, you know, you must never be unhappy or, oh, you must never be sad. No, I'm a human being. I go through those emotions. People say hurtful things. Hurtful things are done to me.
The sadness, of course, makes us appreciate the happiness in our life.
Yes.
I mean, who would have thought, like, you know, Mrs. World from India has this deep spiritual side to her. And this is what, you know, we keep trying to find in our viewers as well. You know, we hope to trigger that in you. This has been, of course, quite a journey for you. And as you said, it's a continuous journey.
Yeah.
Have there been moments during your meditation practice? Because Vipassana, some of the viewers should know that this is a very difficult and a strict practice where you impose silence upon yourself, like I said. Are there moments in the middle of the night when you wake up and say, oh my God, I just want to talk. I just want to say something or hear a human voice.
Firstly, it's actually not as difficult as you think it is.
No?
And it's not like it's imposed. It is, I welcome it.
Okay.
So when, and I pay very careful attention to every word that is said because I believe that each word has its own energy. So when you say impose, immediately what comes to my mind is it's like a negative kind of a energy to it.
Interesting.
And Vipassana is not that at all. It is not difficult at all. It is all about finding yourself. And introspection becomes a very, very crucial part of our existence. There is a reason why we are born as human beings and we need to make use of it. Yes, you can be born, you can do your things and die one day, which happens. It's fine. But do you really want to do that or do you really want to feel alive and make use of this one life that we have? I've gone through a lot of darkness in my life. So
to appreciate the light?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. But that's beautiful. Like, you know, you're so aware, you're so conscious of who you are. You're aware of your journey. You're aware of your purpose. And you're very much in the moment, which is a challenge for most of us.
Yeah.
Most people are struggling, you know, with the memories from the past or they're struggling with expectations they have from the future.
Yeah.
That they lose the moment.
Yeah.
What do you do every day as a daily ritual or as a daily practice to be in the now, to be in the moment?
I practice Vipassana, like I said, whenever I can, wherever I can. Before sleeping, every single night I meditate and then I go to sleep. Sometimes I fall asleep while meditating, which is fine. It's not like I hold it, oh no, how did I sleep? Nothing like that. It's fine. So that I definitely do. And every now and then I just check, am I in the moment? I just have made that a practice because again, I'm a human being and sometimes you go into this downward spiral, as I call it, that one thought leads to another and suddenly you are lost in a la-la land, you know. You're like, okay, you're not aware of what is happening. You're not aware of what the other person is saying even. So that kind of keeps me grounded. I have that sense that, okay, every now and then just check, am I in the moment? Ask this question to yourself. And that helps a lot.
The event itself is just 5%. Most of the things in our life is just 5%. Our reaction to it is 95% of it, right? We blow it out of proportion in our mind. We start attaching meanings and emotions and thoughts to it. Which probably the other person who's inflicted pain upon us or allegedly inflicted pain upon us, probably didn't intend. We start attaching a lot of meaning to
it. Or maybe even if it is intentionally done and it's not like the person is not aware of the fact that this can cause pain to the next person or the opposite person and people still do it, which is okay. But how you are going to react to it, I help people do. And I choose the word respond and not react. There's a difference.
There's powerful, the difference again.
So I always say that get to a level where you can respond.
Right.
And don't just react. To give you an example, it's like somebody slaps me. I would react by slapping the
person back.
Yeah. Right? That is a reaction.
Yeah.
But if I have to respond, and if I am in the moment and I'm aware, I'll be able to hold that person's hand before the slap reaches my cheek.
Wow.
So that is what I have taken upon myself to help people reach that. Don't react, learn to respond. And again, there is this whole thing that, will I become a doormat? Even when you're responding, you can be kind.
Okay.
But doesn't mean you're a doormat. So the same example, if I have to give you, if I am holding the hand, obviously I'm not holding it delicately. I'll use some strength.
Yes.
That is required to hold the hand back. But I'm not being unkind. I'm not crushing the hand. I'm just using enough force to tell the other person that I have strength too.
Yeah.
That I can, do not mess with me. So that is a very fine balance.
That's interesting. Putting your foot down. And it's beautiful you touched it, because there's a lot of women in India who really don't know how to say no.
Yes.
And I remember during my own journey, I met a lot of friends from other countries and started interacting with them. And they said, why do you never say no? And I was like, what? Then the friends pointed out to me that, you know, this is the way you were raised probably. In India, it's ingrained in our culture that a woman says yes to everything that's asked of her. Say yes. That's what is going to make you a good wife. That's what is going to make a good mother out of you.
Yeah.
That's what is going to make a good daughter out of you.
Yeah.
You know, self-sacrifice has been glorified
yes.
to the point of not knowing the line between saying yes, saying no, and abuse. How many Indian women struggle with that?
What would
you tell them? Like, where is the boundary? Where do they put their foot down?
Sacrifice is not bad.
Yeah.
But it cannot be at the cost of yourself. That's it. That's all I want to say. That look at what you're saying yes to.
Yeah.
Are you sacrificing any part of yourself, of your soul? Because it chips at your soul slowly.
Yeah.
And then it erodes you and corrodes you. And then you're left with a feeling of emptiness and void. And nothing can fulfill that. Nothing can fill that up. So whenever you're going through any kind of trauma, be it domestic violence or emotional abuse.
Yeah. During a journey of not being able to say no, not being able to put their foot down, they forget who they are.
Yes.
And somehow, I don't know if I should say it in comparison, I've found that to be one of the most difficult or painful experiences for a lot of women I know.
Yeah.
Not knowing who they are, they struggle with that.
Yes.
Lack of identity.
Yeah.
A lot of times, I think women also forget who they are because they're constantly, you know, living the life of a mother or a wife or a sister. They're constantly living other people's dreams, the children's dreams, the husband's dream, or the brothers and the sisters and the parents' dreams.
Yeah.
Where does a woman identify her dreams, her purpose? Is it important for every human being to have a purpose?
Finding a purpose to your life becomes an important role for everybody, for men as well as women, because we are human beings. We have the brain to assess all these things. So why just live? Why not feel alive and be your best? Maximize your potential.
Hey guys, if you like this episode, don't forget to leave a comment below so we can learn how to improve ourselves. Like, subscribe, and definitely share this with your loved ones, your friends, family, and relatives so you can become an influencer of good health in their lives. Until my next episode, here's wishing you unconditional happiness, love, forgiveness, kindness, empathy, compassion in everything that you do. Here's Dr. Dimple Jangra signing off.